This episode of the Old Dogs REI Network is brought to you by Mino Studio. Welcome to the Old Dogs REI Network, where cash flow is king. Real estate investing, the means, so you can enjoy your retirement dreams. This is the show where we cut right to the chase. No sales pitch, no long monologues, just simple how-to real estate investing advice so you can earn the passive income you need to enjoy your retirement today. And now, your host and chief old dog, Bill Manicero.
Hello, old dogs, and welcome to
Fun Facts Friday.
This is our once a week, only on Friday show, where we have special episodes not featuring guests, where I will share tricks, tips, terminology, and techniques that will help skyrocket you to real estate investing success. Today's topic is, which real estate investing strategy is best for you? But before we get started, I'd just like to touch base with you guys and see how you're doing. I want to encourage you. I think that there are some great opportunities in the market right now. I'm seeing properties in certain areas already going down. So I think there might be some deals to be had as well. So keep your eyes peeled. There's some good things out there on the horizon. Well, let's jump into our tip of the week. This one actually comes from Dave Lindahl when he was on, I don't know how many years back now, but one of the things that, you know, Dave has, I guess, close to 10,000 units. He has been in this business a long time. He's got some great ideas. And I asked him in our interview, what if you lost absolutely everything and you had all you had in your hand was $1,000 in cash? What would you do to rebuild your real estate investing business? And he had four key things he right off the top of his head. One was he'd start creating relationships with brokers. And since, again, he's in the apartment business, it's probably commercial brokers. And building those relationships, really important. Number two, go to business and social events to raise private money. Start talking to folks that have the funds to invest, but maybe they don't have the time to be the boots on the ground, so to speak, where you can step in and be the boots on the ground. Another is get into cash flowing real estate deal. So the idea there is once you've got some lenders and you're looking for properties, and hopefully the brokers are going to give you some off market deals, hopefully you can just start investing and don't drag your feet. Number four, spend the money on networking and a direct mail campaign, because those in the beginning, when you get started, it's all about who you know. As you start to build those relationships and you start to buy apartments and you're successful in your business strategies, then the brokers are going to be calling you with deals that they have that hopefully will be some good deals. So that was his deal, what to do with the $1,000. Didn't really talk about where he'd do it. I think he's mainly going to use that money to network. It's what it sounds like more than anything else. Also a little direct mail, which can get expensive. So you got to be real selective there. Okay, let's jump into our topic. Which real estate investing strategy is best for you? Now, I know there are a lot of you out there that have been listening that are trying to figure out if real estate investing is for you. And there's those of you that have, you know, kind of got started, but maybe you're still a little nervous and get going. Or maybe you've just read Rich Dad, Poor Dad, or stumbled upon this podcast and it's your first time listening, or maybe you've been listening for a while, or maybe you've attended some boot camps out there or other educational type events, and you realize real estate investing is exactly what you want to do. But the more you dig in and research what real estate investing is all about, you realize it is about a lot of things. And it's not just rental properties. It's not just flipping houses. But there are a lot of options if you want to invest in real estate. So if you're thinking about real estate investing, it's kind of the sky's the limit there. You don't need a lot of money. You really, contrary to popular belief, there's ways to get started with absolutely nothing. I mean, Dave, we talk about Dave Lindahl, he started, he was a
cutting lawns at the time, and he found a deal where he could get the creative financing, a seller financing on his first small little apartment. So there are ways to get started. You can build incredible wealth if you stick it out. And the key is understanding the real estate options you have and really picking that area that fits your needs, fits your likes and dislikes. Pick something you really like doing, as opposed to just getting into, you know, the first real estate investing strategy you come up with. So I'm going to give you a real quick overview. I'm going to try to do as quick as I can here because I've got quite a list of various real estate strategies for investors. I'll start with some of them that I think are something that it might be realistic for you. I have a few at the end that I just don't, I need to mention because I think they're also effective too. So first one, you've heard of fix and flip, right? Fix and flip strategies require you to find undervalued properties, fix them up, and sell them for a profit. You typically turn a property around in, depending on how fast you can go here, 6 months or less. So you can use hard money loans or short-term financing to purchase the property and have the money for renovations. Let's do the pros and cons. I'll be doing that for each one here. Pros on it, you can make profits fast. There are more financing options since it's a short-term deal. And no long-term commitment and no headaches from dealing with tenants. The cons are it is an active real estate endeavor and strategy, and it does take a lot of work. You've got a lot of things to bring together, contractors and repairs, and you've got to do a lot of calculating to make sure you're not going to be doing too much improvement or too little improvement. It'd also help if you had some professional input to get started. You're going to have somebody that knows what they're doing. I would not go into it cold. You definitely would like to at least have maybe contractors that are experienced with flipping. And then there's unforeseen expenses, especially on the first time deal you do. More often than not, I hear people just going way over budget. So anyway, that's fix and flip. Let's go to short-term buy and hold. A short-term buy and hold means purchasing a property, typically an undervalued property, fixing it up and running it out. Your goal is to make a significant profit within 2 to 5 years. You can accomplish this by making renovations, increasing rents, and buying in an area you that regularly appreciates. The pros are you only have the investment for a short period. So you're basically buying it, fixing it up, renting it out for a while, and then selling it in 2 to 5 years, okay? Another pro is if you renovate the property enough or decrease expenses well, you can make a decent profit. You can also use earnings to level up and buy another property. A good strategy for high rent districts with low appreciation rents but high cash flow. So that's a good if you can find those areas. The cons are the potential for a loss is high if the market crashes. Of course, that could affect a lot of different strategies. You must actively manage the property and the tenants. And there's unforeseen expenses, again, can ruin your investment plan. So you want to make sure you can manage your funds well, just like with flipping. Another one is the long-term buy and hold, which is more of my focus. A long-term buy and hold strategies mean buying a property, renting it out, and keeping it for many years, more than five. With this strategy, you don't have to worry about investing in high rent districts or areas with rapid appreciation. The goal here is slow and steady. It works best in popular areas where the tenants are easy and the rent constant. And you can do this again with the single family homes, with small multis or apartments. The pros are you have monthly cash flow for the duration of ownership if you have a steady flow of tenants. You don't have to worry about quick profits. Slow and steady wins the race here. Allows more time for greater appreciation. And you can invest in properties across the country with this strategy. The cons are you must hold on to the property for at least 5 years to earn maximum profits. Dealing with tenants can be a real headache. If the market crashes, you're either stuck with the property longer or you may have to take a loss. So it's going to depend, again, on financing it smart and doing other things. Number four, Airbnb. Airbnbs are extremely popular now. And these are considered short-term rentals. You can own an investment property, but instead of renting it out long for long-term leases, you take advantage of short-term tenants. Or you maybe latch onto a niche like 30-day minimums. And then you don't have to worry about this constant cleaning that's going on. There's variations on this, but it's still considered short-term. You may be able to charge higher rents since you're offering a premium service versus a place to live. And you don't have to deal with tenants around the clock. You are in charge of what people occupy the property, though. Pros are has the potential for higher and faster profits than a long-term buy and hold. Definitely. You make a lot more per month on a Airbnb property as opposed to just a standard rental. You can charge pricing according to demand, holidays, etc., events in the area where there's a strong demand for short-term housing. You can market the property available when you want and even use it yourself. So if you happen to pick up an Airbnb property in Belize, you can block out a month or two that you can go down there and use the property yourself. You can visit the property more often and know its conditions and what needs repairing. So you should, I would recommend, have access or at least have people on the ground that can watch the property as you progress. The cons are there's more and stricter legislation on Airbnbs, and that's true. Certain cities have either taxed them very high or they don't allow them at all. So because of the hotel lobbies in the area, lobbying, should I say, hotel lobbies too, I guess, you have to be careful where you're going to select as a property. You don't have as much control over who rents your property. I mean, they give you very little information about the person that's coming in there, and you hope that person is legit. But for the most part, you don't have the in-depth vetting that you have. Unless you hire a management company, it's a lot of work to keep it up. And you can get some good cleaners. You can also hire co-hosts if it's in an area where you're not located. So there are some ways around that. But that's that. Number five, house hacking. Now, we've talked about that a lot, and I'm sure you all know what that's all about, but it's basically if you don't have the funds to invest in a real estate property separately from your primary residence, combine the two and use house hacking. So maybe you'll sell your house, or maybe your first house will be a fourplex and you'll live in one unit and your tenants living in 2, 3, and 4 will pay for your rent and hopefully generate a nice little profit for you on top of that. And there are a lot of creative ways to finance too. If you're a new homeowner, you can do, like a 3%, 3.5% down. There's all kinds of different types of loans that you can get into that can make it even more desirable for you. The pros are you may live in your property mortgage-free if the rent covers the cost. It better, or I wouldn't do it. You're located on site, so you don't have to travel to take care of the property. You should have a positive cash flow, and you earn the appreciation of the entire building, not just your unit, which is sweet. Okay. And the cons are you essentially share your property with others. So if somebody has a clogged toilet and they know you're the owner, they're going to come right after you, and they're already going to know you're the landlord. So they're going to come after you anyway. You're pretty actively involved in the investment, depending on what kind of property it is. If it's an upper scale property, you're probably not going to have a lot of interaction or a lot of things to repair. It can be hard to find a suitable property. You really have to, there are a lot of inexpensive ones out there, but if you're going to live in it, it's got to be a neighborhood you're going to feel comfortable with too. Then there's the BRRRRRRRRRRRRRRRRRRRRRRRRRRRRRRRRRRRRRRRRRRRRRRRRRRRRRRRRRRRRRRRRRRRRRRRRRRRRRRRRRRRRRRRRRRRRRRRRRRRRRRRRRRRRRRRRRRRRRRRRRRRRRRRRRRRRRRRRRRRRRRRRRRRRRRRRRRRRRRRRRRRRRRRRRRRRRRRRRRRRRRRRRRRRRRRRRRRRRRRRRRRRRRRRRRRRRRRRRRRRRRRRRRRRRRRRRRRRRRRRRRRRRRRRRRRRRRRRRRRRRRRRRRRRRRRRRRRRRRRRRRRRRRRRRRRRRRRRRRRRRRRRRRRRRRRRRRRRRRRRRRRRRRRRRRRRRRRRRRRRRRRRRRRRRRRRRRRRRRRRRRRRRRRRRRRRRRRRRRRRRRR I think the folks at Bigger Pockets originated, and that stands for buy, renovate, rent, refinance, repeat. It's a way of to build a portfolio by leveraging the investment made in your original property. And here's how it works. You buy an undervalued property either with cash or financing and then renovate it. Once ready, you rent it out and earn cash flow. After 6 months, you refinance the property, taking the equity out of it that you made, and use the equity to buy another property and do the same. Good strategy. Pros, you may earn immediate appreciation if you buy an undervalued property and renovate it enough. It's easier to build a portfolio of properties by leveraging the equity. You'll get financing easier if you have large down payments from the previous home's equity. And you can diversify your risk by investing in multiple real estate markets. The cons are you must know how to find undervalued properties and distressed properties, which are not as frequent right now, but could very likely be more in the marketplace in the year or months to come. It can be time consuming because you are very involved. There's a lot of efforts. There's finding the properties, which is going to take a good amount of searching and scouting for the right properties. Then you've got renovations to oversee, and there's bankers as well that you've got to align yourself with so that you can get financing so you can move on to the next property. You need decent credit also on this if that's an issue for you in order to get the nice financing to be able to move on to multiple properties there. Wholesaling, we've talked about this quite a bit. As a real estate wholesaler, you work as the middleman. You never own the property. Instead, you do the finding, the sleuthing to find undervalued properties. You put it under contract and then immediately locate buyers willing to buy the property for more than you put it under warranty. So you basically find somebody that's generally in a distress situation. They want to sell a house. They need cash right away. So you would go in there. You would negotiate a price with them, and then you would get it under contract, and then you basically would go to somebody who's a buyer and sell it for a profit. And this is how a lot of real estate investors get started, and they move on to bigger and better things. But it is a way to generate some good funds. You don't need any money to be a real estate wholesaler. You very little, if anything, just to maybe file for the contract. You don't have the headaches of managing a property or tenants. Financing isn't an issue since you aren't the end buyer, and you can make profits very quickly. It does take a lot of work, though. There's a lot of back-end work to be able to find those properties and those distressed properties that you can make that kind of profit on. On the con side, you must have time to act fast or you'll end up owning the home if you don't find a buyer. There's a clock ticking on that contract. It would help if you had a great marketing plan and a network of investors. So what people usually do is they build up their buyer network and then you start some sort of funnel to generate interested folks that would be interested in selling. There's really no monthly cash flow opportunities. I mean, you'll get your chunk of cash once this sale is initiated between the buyer and the seller. Next one, live in and then rent. Okay, so these are ones that we haven't talked much about. But if you don't have the capital to buy another property right now, you can use your residence as a rental in a few years. While you live in your home, you can fix it up, getting it ready for renters. Then once you build up appreciation, you can refinance the property, taking out some of the equity and use it to buy your primary residence while renting out your old primary residence. It's a good strategy that a lot of people use. You have a pro side, you have a place to live, and you can work on your investment plan at the same time. The equity buildup in your home that you're turning into a rental can help you buy a primary residence. You don't have to live with your tenants. You don't have to house hack. You can live in your own place. It's easier to get financing for a primary home than investment properties, and you get better rates as well. The cons are if you don't buy a property in a popular rental area, it won't work. It can take a lot of time, the rental of your property and the purchase of another property for you to live in. There's no guarantee your property will appreciate in the time you want it to so that you can rent it out and move. So that, that's another strategy that has its pluses and minuses. Turnkey properties. If you're interested in investing in properties but don't have the patience or time to find renters, consider turnkey properties. These properties are ready for renters and many already have their renters in place with an active lease. pros are you become an instant landlord. This is how I started with three turnkey properties. If you work, you can do this on a platform like Roofstock. I've talked about them. You can, it's literally just a marketplace where you can go pick out houses, and they're pre-screened, and it's a real nice process. Or you can go with a an established turnkey provider. And you can invest in any part of the country. It can be a hands-off investment if they've got a good, strong property management company to handle the property. On the con side, you don't really have much say about who's in the property because it's probably got a tenant already in place. So if it's not a good tenant, you're stuck. You may have to invest long distance, which it can be a challenge, and you'll need to access to financing and a large down payment. I would also add to, you don't know what the property management company is going to be like. And for many turnkey operators, their money isn't made in the property management side. It's made in the sale of the house because you pay market or a little bit above market to get that property. So that may be part of the challenge there. Number 10, live-in flip. Okay, that's a live-in flip. Okay, it offers tax benefits if you do it right. A live-in flip requires you to find a property that's livable but needs updating and renovations. Then you fix up the home while you live in it and then sell the property after at least 2 years. If you wait at least 2 years and you live in it for two of those last 5 years, okay, you'll avoid capital gains taxes on the first $250,000 in profits. That's for single filers, or $500,000 if you're married filing jointly. So it's a smart way to make significant funds on a home that you're living in, and you don't have to. You've got 2 years to rehab the place. So it's not a bad idea. The pros are you buy a primary residence, so you get better financing terms. There's no separate property to oversee and manage. The tax exemptions on the capital gains can be quite profitable, and you can renovate the home how you want. So that's the pros. The cons are you have to sell your home every 2 to 5 years. So, you're a little bit of a nomad, but it's a way to kind of challenge Kiyosaki, where your home really is an investment. If you live in it, you do the live and flip approach. Also, there's no guarantee you'll make a profit when you sell. I mean, you could be one of these guys that takes it to the buys it at the bubble, and then boom, it's not going to work so great. You may have to wait 5, 10 years, you don't know, until the market recovers. And they'll always have work going on in your home, which some people may not be able to handle. Always renovating a bathroom, a kitchen, or whatever it may be. Anyway, it's just another approach. Then there's the trade up, and this is a strategy. It's a buying strategy more than anything else, but it may be temporary. I don't know what's going to happen to the 1031 exchange, but the IRS makes trading up easy with the 1031 like-kind exchange rule. With this rule, you can sell an investment property, and if you use the proceeds to invest in another like property immediately or within the short window that you have there, you defer the capital gains taxes. And so you can make a nice big profit, move it into another property as long as it's a like-kind property. And then that allows you to keep trading up. Thus, it allows you to invest in something more extensive, possibly make more significant profits and not lose any money to taxes just yet. It just keeps deferring. But you can start with a single family home and work up to apartment building doing this kind of exchange. The pros are you can continually up-level your real estate investments. You can experience different real estate markets. Capital gains taxes don't become due if you keep it reinvesting in properties. And you have more purchasing power by offsetting the capital gains taxes. The cons are there are strict laws and regulations you must follow. and you have a strict deadline to follow. Any money left that you don't invest in the house is taxable. So you really have to spend it all on whatever that next property is. And I'll add another one. There is certain uncertainty. It's not certain because it's uncertain. But what I mean is 1031 exchange is one of those things that's on the table with the new administration, and it may change significantly or may go away. So we're watching it very carefully. Number 12, hard money lending or private money lending. This one, you're basically becoming the banker. And if you don't want to invest in properties, you can invest in the investors who provide the financing. A hard money lender or a private money person who provides funding for an investor for short or long term, they can provide these loans for fix and flip properties or short term, or you can do it for longer terms as well. Maybe you're just even can provide through one of the platforms out there where it's just personal money. Somebody can buy a car or smaller purchase items. And you can use the funds from your self-directed IRA or solo 401k as well. So this is kind of a nice thing where you're more on the banker side of things. The pros are you can charge high interest rates for your specialized financing. You don't have to deal with real estate directly yourself. You are in control of who you lend to, and your limit is only the amount of money you have. So on the con side, if borrowers default, you have to repossess the property and then sell it. There's no guarantee you'll find good borrowers, and it would help if you did the work qualifying the borrowers. I mean, it's important that you do. You have to spend that time, I think, to find good borrowers. 13, lease options. This involves buying a home, fixing it up or not. Some people just buy a home and they put it up for lease to own or rent to own. And the buyers will come in and they'll purchase the home from you. It usually includes a higher than market rent, a higher than market purchase price, and a large non-refundable down payment. The idea is that the person who leases/buys the property will treat the home as their own, and they'll do the improvements, they'll do repairs, the maintenance, for maybe a 3 to 5 year period. During that time, they're expected to get their credit good and to be able to refinance it, pay off the owner, and take on the mortgage on the property. You just collect the rent. You keep the deposit and sell it if the tenant can't refinance. So the recourse is you still have the property if they don't qualify and they're unable to finance it. The pros are when you buy, then sell on rent or lease to own arrangement, you get higher rent, you get large non-refundable deposit up front, and the buyer is usually responsible for the maintenance. So you really don't have to do anything except, again, you're being a banker. You're just collecting and following this through. The con side of it is the bookkeeping is tricky. Most tenants don't complete the purchase. Traditionally, this can be an advantage too, but it does mean more work for you. So there are some issues there that you have to kind of take a look at. That was sort of the top 13 there, but there's some others that you should at least take a look at and see what they're at. And I'll try to cover these pretty fast here because I know it's running a little longer than usual. But REITs, we've talked about real estate investment trust. The advantages are they're easy to buy and sell. It's like buying stocks. It is based in real estate, which is something solid and tangible. But the disadvantages are you really can't control it. You don't have any effect on these properties or how they go or what markets they're in. And it's not as high a return as you might get in other types of real estate investing. There's also tax liens, inexpensive way to obtain high equity property, low maintenance. Many properties don't have a loan on them and owners don't want them. So you can, if you know how to find them, they're great. It's like money in the bank. But the disadvantages are you're going to need a lot of money to get started. You've got to at least get invested and to get going, and you have to make sure it's a clear title as well. Next one is trust deeds. Advantages are good for investors with bad credit to invest in high-end real estate. It can be also you can obtain mortgage without qualifying for a loan, which is pretty sweet. The disadvantages are large loans with larger degree of risk to investors. You pay more for properties, and the risk of, you know, people going filing bankruptcy or something. So you are you become a banker on that one too. Real estate syndication, passive investor. We've talked about syndications a lot on the show, as I don't have to really give a lot of intro there, but the advantages are you get generally high yields, higher yields than most available investments out there, and they're backed by real estate. Disadvantages, you need to really qualify the operator, the sponsor. A preferred rate is not guaranteed and depends on the cash flow of the apartment community, but also is at the discretion of the sponsor. So it's a great way to invest funds. I think you get a higher rate than most other investments. So, but at the same time, you be aware of your risk, and you got to really vet your sponsor carefully. Self-storage, we've talked about before. Advantages are you get higher rates, higher returns, better cap rates than apartment buildings. Don't have the traditional tenant problems that go along with an apartment complex. The disadvantages are you need full-time on-site manager, you need fences, security systems that allow and control access, cameras and video systems to watch over the place. And then raw land is the last one we have here. We've talked about raw land quite a bit. Its advantage, it's simpler than most real estate investments with the possibility of greater profits. There are no tenants, toilets, or trash. The disadvantages are, you know, it can take a long time, and you have expenses, high risk, and no cash flow while you wait. Also, you really need to know where you're buying and how you're going to sell. You're doing it enough, you can do real well in this. It's kind of like flipping, except it's like land flipping. So, but you can also, as mentioned, you can get stuck with properties for a long time if you don't pick it right or just end up getting stuck. So anyway, that is it for today. Boy, oh boy, that was a mouthful, and there's a lot of stuff in there. But, you know, really, all this stuff is going to be in the show notes. I'm going to have all these things listed, but I'll also have links to some of the shows that we've had where you can go into more depth about self-storage or raw land or whatever it may be, if those are of interest to you. But I think it's a good worksheet if you're thinking about investing and you haven't done it yet. You can, you know, really dig in and find out what fits your needs, what fits your investment strategy. And hopefully it'll be something of value to you guys and in the time ahead, or maybe you're looking to move into other areas. Maybe you've been a rental guy and now you're looking, or gal, and maybe you're looking at going into other types of real estate, like hard money lending or what have you. Anyway, that is it for today. Please note, everything I talked about today will be outlined in detail in our show notes, and there will be links to shows and podcasts, like I mentioned, at theolddogsreinetwork.com/blog. And you're going to look for the episode entitled, Which Real Estate Investing Strategy is Best for You? Well, that's the show for today. Remember, cash flow is king, and real estate investing the means. Until next time, keep moving forward, and may God bless.
Thank you very much for visiting the Old Dogs REI Network. We would greatly appreciate if you would stop by iTunes and let us know what you think of the show. We would love if you could subscribe to the podcast, give us a 5-star rating, and write a review. The more ratings and reviews we receive, the more visible the podcast will be to others. Thank you.
At Grainger, we're for the ones who specialize in saving the day and for the ones who've mastered the art of keeping business moving. We offer industrial-grade supplies for every industry, with same-day pickup and next-day delivery on most orders, all backed by real people ready to help, so you can get the right answers and products right when you need them. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.